Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines, and have we got a show for you today.
Woohoo!
Andy Cohn, editor of Council Magazine, is here.
Back
fresh
in the house.
From the Council road trip. We talked about
that
on the show a little bit last week. Andy, what was your favorite part of the road trip?
Traveling with you guys. Melinda and Joe along for the ride.
Sweet.
Thousands of miles, open road.
Now we saw...
What more fun could one have?
We saw a lot of cool things. What was the favorite thing you saw at a company that we visited? We visited 17 awesome distributors and suppliers.
Let's see, the favorite thing.
I bet it was the chili dogs, wasn't it?
No, the chili dogs was great.
We were served
especially
chili dogs
at 9:30 in the morning.
At 9:30 in the morning.
You know, it was the morning things that were
in
the
Detroit.
Most fun because they were out of context. But yeah, there was that, and there was the Friday morning party at Image Group in Vancouver.
Where we had Clamato and beer.
Right, which was awesome. So,
that was awesome.
And
you
bagels
know,
with lox and cream cheese.
Yes. I stayed away from the lox.
I didn't
like
I
that
dug
stuff.
In. I tucked in.
But yeah, you did tuck in, Joe. But, you know, the companies were so cool. There were 17 of them, and they all have such great workplaces. You know, everybody's just so motivated and excited. And
it was very exciting. And we're going to, you can read about it now online at councilmag.com/councilortour. And of course, we'll have a huge story in the September issue of Councilor Magazine. Everyone's favorite managing editor, Joe Haley, he was
Woo-hoo!
Here. Joe, you're also on the road trip. And you're wearing a tie today. What is that?
You didn't mention
Tuesday.
My tie.
Tie Tuesday. CJ reinstated Ties Tuesday. Shush, Michelle.
It's a slow day here at the Councilor News offices. It's Tie Tuesday.
We're trying to class up the joint.
So I think what we should do, which we've done in the past, I think a few times, is take a picture of
all of you
gentlemen in your ties and put voting online for our listeners.
We are voting.
They can vote who is the snappiest tie wearer.
Snappiest?
Yes. We have a special guest here
this morning.
Sydney Cohn is here. She is an 8th grade student who is interning with us this week. How are you today, Sydney?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Sydney had a dog debacle last night,
it
which we're
going to
talk about in just a little while. Michelle Bell, everyone's favorite SGR editor, is here. And Michelle, you're tweeting? What are you doing?
I am tweeting.
What are you tweeting about?
The show.
Oh, good.
So it goes live on Twitter.
All right. Known is here managing the tech booth. He'll be producing a lot of lovely sounds for you today.
Yes.
Kind
like
of
that
like
one
we just joined
right
the Gong Show.
Vinny Driscoll is going to be answering your phone calls. Today's call-in question, should you partner with a competitor? We want to know what you think about that, yes or no, or if you have any stories of partnering with a competitor, please call us 215-953-4979. Joe, if we put you on the air today, what are we going to give you?
Let's give him a $25 Visa gift card.
All right, start calling us now, 215-953-4979. Joe, what else is on tap for today's show?
Okay, we have 5 easy SEO tips for small business. SEO stands for, Andy?
Search engine optimization.
That's right. It's very important in this day and age.
Right at you, Joe.
The most important things to consider when building a brand, I'm going to let you know what they are. We have a list there. Creative ideas that made $100 million. And that's kind of crazy that one idea can produce that much revenue. But Michelle has a look at that topic.
I bet.
Should dogs be allowed...
Sorry.
It's not on the list, actually.
I'm just thinking of my creative ideas. I'm going to go ahead.
Should dogs be allowed in the workplace?
Yes.
Okay, Melinda says yes. Andy says?
Sure.
You're supposed to say no. You're Captain Killjoy.
Yeah. I'm feeling the love today. I saw it in practice, so.
Okay. Sydney will have that topic for us later on today. 10 brands that will disappear by next year. Michelle's going to look at that. We have some other topics and our favorite things, but let's start the whole shebang off with the industry news in 60 seconds. Andy.
All right. Thank you, Joe. We begin this morning with product news. Seattle and Pasadena last week began enforcing bans on single-use plastic bags. The two cities join a growing group that have passed varying forms of bans against single-use plastic bags in retail stores. On to top 40 financial news now. American Apparel reports that it grew overall company revenues by 12% in the second quarter, including a 10% increase in wholesale business. The company said it expects the sales momentum to continue through the remainder of 2012. More top 40 news now. Polyconcept North America announced that its Trimark sportswear division is expanding into the United States. Based in Ontario, Canada, the unit will The unit in the U.S. will be known as Trimark, powered by Leeds. It is first launching operations in Illinois and Maryland areas with additional expansion planned throughout 2013. Acquisition news now. Pareto Corporation announced last week that it has acquired Canadian distributor firm The Promotional Specialist. Pareto is owned by Riverside Company, a private equity firm that also owns top 40 distributor AIA Corporation. And finally, make sure to check out the latest episode of The Joe Show and Promogram today. Joe, what's hot for today?
You know, speaking of hot, Andy, we have a wine bag that you actually freeze and will keep your bottle of white wine chilled when you're going out to a picnic or a party.
Could also act as a cold compress after the fact if needed.
It absolutely could. Sorry. Look at that. You're multitasking with the product.
Always thinking, Andy. All right, we're going to take your calls right now at 215-953-4979. Today's topic is, should you partner with a competitor? We want to know what you think. And on line two, we have Will. Good morning, Will.
Good morning, everyone.
What's your question, Will?
Well, here it is. One of my local competitors wants to partner with me because my area of expertise is nonprofits. And he has just got a fairly large program from one. Should I do it or shouldn't I?
Andy, what do you think?
I think it depends what that partner, that competitor of yours has to offer you. Sounds like they might be trying to hone in on your business a little bit.
If they're bringing him a big potential job to share, no?
To share? Or are they looking to get to other clients of yours?
No, they're wondering whether or not they can partner with me along with that big
So they want you to help
got.
With their big job.
They okay. want me to work.
Presumably, you're going to get some kind of compensation for it.
We hope.
Yeah, so there could be value there. I misunderstood the question a little bit. I think that partnering with competitors can be valuable, especially in a case like this where you can offer an expertise that they might not have. So they might be just bringing you a kind of revenue stream that you didn't have previously. I would just make sure that there is, it's not just a monetary thing, but that there is value on both sides of that partnership, not just going one way to the other.
Okay.
All right, well, good luck.
All right, thanks a lot.
For calling. Stay on the line for your gift card.
Sure.
On line three, we have Stanley from California. Good morning, Stanley.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Bright and early. Sunny out here.
It is bright and early there.
Yeah. But I saw the subject today, and I wanted to call in because I just recently partnered with a competitor.
Okay.
And my biggest concern was, or my current status was, how much business was I writing by myself as a small distributorship? What was I able to do? And I looked at the idea that by partnering with a competitor, a friendly competitor, somebody who I had, that I'd known, I find that the advantage of having use of their office staff, the added benefits of a full company, I'm finding that I'm writing more business, even though I'm giving up some commissions. I'm writing more business. Customer service has gone up. My customers are loving it. So that's in my experience. And for years I fought it, but the only thing that I wanted to ask you is, I don't know if, should a person... When I've got a couple other friends that are considering doing this, do you go into the negotiation wanting to sell your book of business if you're going to merge, or is it just you go into a situation like this where you just merge and go forward? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a one-off. Right? I don't know if it's a merger per se. I think that if somebody needs your help with one deal, you do the deal and see how it goes from there.
But I think Stanley's talking about actually affiliating or going with a bigger distributor. Is that right, Stanley?
Yeah, exactly.
I think it depends on what your strategy is. If you're kind of looking at like an exit strategy, then yeah, you're selling it out. If you're looking to continue, which it sounds like you're looking to do, then I think it's more of you're keeping your business and just trying to use that larger distributor as like your back end operation in a sense, and that's kind of what they tend to offer, in exchange for some commission or revenue, whatever you guys work out. So I think it totally depends on what your business strategy is moving forward. If you're looking at an exit strategy, then you're selling. But if you're looking to continue, as it seems like you are, then I think you're partnering and you're giving up some of your revenue, like you said, in exchange for getting rid of all that that back office stuff that you might not want to do anymore or don't feel like you have time to do.
All right. Well, good luck, Stanley. Thank you so much for calling, and we stand in line for your Visa gift card.
I'll let you know how it goes.
Please do. Have a great day. Michelle, you said we're getting some email comments on this topic.
We do. We have one from Sheila who wrote, we have partnered with a couple local competitors when we were unable to provide a service and needing something quicker, and we've done the same for them. So in instances where it's just a one-off here and there, it seems to work for them. And then we have another comment from someone at Geiger, Judy, her name is, who wants to know if we have any pointers for finding or laying the groundwork for working with a competitor to build the trust. Like, should you have an agreement in place? You know, it's one thing to like a competitor, to have a friendly competitor, but I think that she's asking, you know, what parameters should you put in place to make sure that nothing goes awry?
Well, I think the first step is you're looking for competitors that do things that you might not necessarily do. So we're talking about competitors, but if you're just looking at partnering with a company that does exactly what you do, I'm not sure I see the value there. Like our first caller, you know, somebody came to him because he was an expert in nonprofits and knew how to fulfill that business, whereas they didn't. That's fulfilling a need, you know, outside of what the other company's capabilities are. So I think once you find that competitor, if you're trying to get into print and you know a print shop that, you know, that's like an ancillary product that they do that you might not do, that's a perfect type of partnership. You can bring them clients, they can produce services that you can't otherwise do. After that, I think you do need a strict, some sort of strict contract in place that lays the groundwork for, you know, how much revenue each is getting off of a deal, who's doing what, when, you know, what the process is, what staff is involved from which company. You know, you need to be working these things out, I would say, on the front end, because if you're working them out while things are going on, the partnership's going to fail. You know, it just is. It's just, there's just no way around it.
You know who actually, I think, maybe do it more than distributors? Suppliers do it a lot,
yeah,
actually.
They
partner when, you know, they're short on inventory or they need a geographic, you know, help providing an order in a geographic location, and it seems to work well for them.
Mm-hmm.
We got some Facebook comments on this topic this morning, and one, Andy echoes what you were saying about finding people that provide ancillary services.
Right.
Robin Sexton said she offers her service to other printers and ad agencies, you know, who need products. And she said, I even discount if the order is large enough. I'm here to help. Contact me at any time. So contact Robin Sexton.
Well, there you go. Robin putting her services out. I think that's right.
But it's a smart tactic.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure in turn, if she has clients that need printing and she can't offer, she will flip that to those partners and they'll give her promo products.
Yeah.
So it seems like a good partnership.
And she touched on ad agencies. That's a very common partnership that distributors try to get into. You know, and I would suggest that distributors listening really do try to go down that avenue. You know, speak to local ad agencies. They're the ones that are creating the campaigns for companies in your area. And so they are going to be trying to put promotional products into some of their campaigns. The earlier you can get in on that process, the better off you are. So ad agencies could really be good partnership avenues for you.
They also think party planners and event planners as well.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
All right. We had a couple people weigh in on the negative side as well on this. Judy Brown says, the two local competitors I see most often I would not likely partner with on anything. Our customer interaction is just too different. I would be concerned that my reputation would be damaged in partnership with either of them. So obviously you're not going to want to get a partnership with someone that you don't respect.
Yeah.
You know, you want to do one with a company that you think does good things like you do. Obviously.
Yeah, and I would guess that's not a caller, that's a writer, right?
It's a Facebook call.
So, you know, I would guess that competitor that she's talking about probably does the exact same thing that she does anyway. You know,
right.
Provides
so
traditional promotional products and fulfills promotional campaigns. There's not going to be value there for the most part, unless
right.
you're talking about hitting up markets that you haven't traditionally penetrated that they have.
Sure.
Maybe
you
there's something
there.
You
need to have different competencies, or what's the point?
Right. So it sounds like, if you don't respect a competitor, there'd be no reason
right.
for you to partner with them.
Right.
All right. Well, thanks for weighing in on that, Judy. We're going to take a break and hear a message from our sponsor, AIA. And when we return, Andy is going to give us 5 easy SEO tips.
Where do you see your business in the next 5 years? Do you believe that you have all the support and tools to reach your goals? With AIA, your vision can become reality. AIA understands that not all businesses are the same. They work with you to craft a customized, individual plan that develops your business in a way that's best for you and the professional life you want to create, regardless of where your business is in its life cycle. When you become part of the AIA community, you have the resources, talent, and expertise of a robust organization at your fingertips, all while keeping your business and your clients. The offer? A simple agreement with no non-compete provisions, no money up front,
No monthly or transactional fees and no technology fees. One simple rate, period. Contact AIA today, 877-212-7324 or www.aiacommunity.com.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show. We're talking about whether you should partner with a competitor or in what circumstances. And on line two, we have Sharon, who's calling to weigh in on the topic. Good morning, Sharon. Hi, Sharon.
Question. We have a couple of my, they're not coworkers, I guess, they're associates, and I have met recently talking about setting up. We're friendly competitors because we all do marketing, but I do promotional products. One of the ladies does graphic work, and the other one does website design and development. And we're trying to figure out a way to create some sort of a niche to offer a marketing group service to people. Do you have any suggestions for that?
I think it sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, I guess I would suggest before jumping in, certainly discussing parameters like we were talking about before, you know, how clients would be called on, who would be the lead, you know, where the brainstorming is coming from. What you might want to do is if any of the three of you are really close with a particular client that might want the different types of services that each of the three can offer, you know, maybe you try the partnership out on a one-time basis and you know, you can figure out the revenue split or however you want to do that. You know, I can't know the particulars exactly, but I'm sure you can figure out a revenue split that works for all three. You know, maybe then you work out a campaign with one of those clients where each of the three of you kind of puts in some of your core competencies. And you start to see how which company does what and when, and you know how the parameters of a relationship there could work. I think it gets hard when you get more than two partners and you're talking about a third coming in. I think that can get really difficult, but it sounds like each of the three of you actually really do have something to offer to clients that could work as partners, you know, as a sort of a three-way partnership. So it sounds like there's something, could be something that's very beneficial there. I would almost just give it a trial run, in a sense, okay, to see how it goes.
All right, well, thanks for the advice. We're going to try to work it out and see what we can come up with.
Sounds
good. Good luck, Sharon.
Let us know.
Thanks for calling. Let us know, and stay on the line for your Visa gift card.
Thank you.
Andy.
Yeah.
Small businesses are always trying to be ranked up highly on search engines. What are some quick tips you have to offer today?
All right. There's an article we found that has five. I'm going to talk about three. The nice thing about SEO today is that, like you said, small businesses really can compete with their larger counterparts. And Google is helping that out with their local business listing service. So the first step you really want to do is get involved in Google local business listings. Just look it up on Google. It's very simple. And then you can start to, you know, you'll show up on some of the next tips I'll talk about. We'll give you ideas on how you can show up higher. But, you know, it's basically, you know, there's nothing against a one-person business as opposed to a 1,000-person business when Google has its local business listings. So when somebody's in a local area and they're searching for promotional products in Topeka, Kansas, then others will, you know, the local areas, local companies will show up as highly as, wow, what was that? We got a bomb.
You're giving the right answer.
I guess so. They'll show up very highly, as well as any big company. So check that out. The second tip is to make sure you're blogging on your website and adding video. Video and blog gets huge pickup on SEO. So try to create fresh content on your website. That's what gets picked up by search engines. The fresh content that you put up, the more often you do it, the better off you'll be in search engine optimization. The last tip, check out Twitter. If you're not on Twitter now, it is great for SEO. You know, tweet links to your new blog entries, tweet links to anything on your website that might get, you know, not just people there, but that's actually how search engines pick up more links to your website. And then anytime somebody retweets your, you know, anything you post on Twitter, then it gets indexed like double time on Google and other search engines. So
I like that.
I'm talking double time. So, you know, try to put as much content on your website and then put links to it from other avenues, Twitter and Facebook and those kind of social media outlets, where then Google picks them up from many different areas.
Okay, well, great tips from Andy Cohen. You have some more, so we're going to put these on our website, asicentral.com/radio. Check them out. All right, here's a topic that we've had some experience with recently. We're going to talk about whether dogs should be allowed in the workplace. Now, Andy, Joe, and I were on the Road Counselor Best Place to Work tour last week, and we saw a number of companies that regularly had a policy. People could bring their dogs to work anytime. We saw boxers and bulldogs and all kinds of
people. We saw just about as many dogs as we saw people.
We did. Right. They even at one place had Wiener Dog Wednesdays, which like because I have a Wiener Dog at home. Sydney Cohn, what do you think? You've got some news on this.
Well, Virginia Commonwealth University did a study on it with a company that manufactures dinnerware. It's called Replacements Limited, and they divided people into three groups. 18 dog owners who brought their dogs, 38 employees that owned dogs but didn't bring them, and 19 employees that didn't own pets. Personally, I think it would be kind of distracting to have a dog in the office.
Well, because you've got a dog's tale of your own to tell us in a minute, but go ahead.
So they started the day and they took a saliva sample to see like the stress levels.
Of the dogs or the people?
No, of the people. and they were like everyone was the same in the beginning, but throughout the day they had them report their stress levels, and the workers that were accompanied by their dogs had the lowest amount of stress, and the people that were dog owners but left their pets at home were the most stressed of the day.
Because they were concerned about their dog.
They
home.
Separation
they their home alone.
They see other people's dogs and get sad.
People who brought their dogs said they had increased productivity, which I don't really get because if my dog was there, I'd be like petting him all day and I wouldn't be doing anything.
Sydney's anti-dog on this one question. Okay.
But
and what about the people that didn't have dogs at all?
People that didn't have their dogs, they said that they were just the same.
The same. So really but the people who brought the dogs had the lowest stress. Is that right?
Yeah. But the people said that 25% said the dogs positively affected the productivity. So I mean that's not that many. So I don't know.
So Sydney's skeptical about this whole study.
I'm not on board with this idea.
Now, but what type of dog do you have?
I have a chocolate lab.
Okay, and what did he do last night?
Well, last night we went out to dinner and my sister and I accidentally left one of the doors on his crate open. And there was a cake on the counter and some cupcakes. And
and what color was the cake?
It was a rainbow cake.
Okay.
So he got out and he ate the entire cake and all the cupcakes. And the liners included. So
and the liners. Were they foil or paper liners?
Well, it was like the outside was foil. He didn't eat that part, but he ate the inside
paper.
Part that was paper. And then he went and sat back in his crate, so it looked like he didn't do anything.
Blame the cat.
So how do you know it was the dog?
Right. Well,
thief could have come in and stolen the cake. Well, I bet you'll find out today. What's his name?
Charlie.
When Charlie goes to the bathroom.
Okay.
You know, in rainbow colors that he was
well,
the
no,
cake eater.
Thankfully she's here, so she won't find out today. Someone else will have to take care of that.
Well, so, yeah, so you have a bit of a rambunctious dog, it sounds like. I mean,
that might not be the kind of dog you want to take to the workplace.
That's what I'm saying. Perhaps
he's
if
a
she
puppy,
had,
though, yeah?
Yeah, he's
puppy.
Only 9 months.
Perhaps if she had, you know, like a 3-year-old nice little wiener dog.
A sophisticated
she would love
dog.
To bring him in. Interesting. So you don't think he would fare well in the workplace?
Well, he is very social. He likes to visit people and see what's going on. So I feel like he would distract other people.
Oh, he's like
lot.
Joe.
We already have a Labrador in the workplace.
We have our little wiener dog.
Good boy, huh?
Joe, you saw some of the workplaces that had dogs. What's your take on the situation?
You know, I'm really not a dog person, but I mean, they really seem to make the workplace really relax, and especially Image Group in Vancouver. I mean, they had, what, 5 dogs there that morning? And the smallest dog seemed to rule the roost. sitting on
true.
The lap, the little Jack Russell Terrier.
Oh, he was cute.
And but no, everyone seemed to enjoy it. They really did. They have little, what do you call those things, baby fences that you put in your house, you know, to baby-proof the house, keeping them in their offices and stuff. But I really don't think it was too loud. So I think that everyone there enjoys it. They like
that
it culture.
Yeah, it totally depends on the culture. Yeah. And how many dog lovers
on the
you
culture.
Have. I mean, if people hate dogs, obviously it's not
I think as the work population, that it generationally changes. You know, I just read a study that for the Gen X group, which they defined as 32 to 45, 71% of them own pets, and that number increases 2.1% every year, it's predicted. And of that number, 45.6% have dogs. I mean, these people love their animals.
Now, what about cats, Michelle? You're a cat lady.
I am.
You have some lovely cats
at home.
She's
the cat lady.
I'm guessing that bringing cats to work is not the best idea.
You know, cats are a
They don't want.
They're a handful. They don't like change. They would not do well.
Yours are more than a handful. That
could you even get them into the cage to bring them?
Monkey and mouse.
She has this, that's right. She's this cat named Moose. It's like, what, 25 pounds?
He's 18. He's big boned. Cats are a different kettle of fish altogether. I think an argument could be made for dogs, though I take Sydney's point. They can be distracting, I would think.
Well, in this office, they also have a duck and a pot-bellied pig that people bring to the office.
So that's just a freak
in the
seat.
Study?
Right. In the study, the business that they did the study about, people are bringing ducks and pigs.
Stop.
A duck. I don't really.
You mind if I bring my duck next week?
Yes, and bring some.
Well, no, you have rabbits. Do you want to bring your rabbits to work?
No, he's against that.
No. Oh, they'll poop all over the place. Okay,
we don't want any rabbit poop.
All right, well, we're going to talk. Sorry. You're going to read
We
more.
Did have a bird, though, recently, right?
We did. A parrot?
There was
a
bird.
Right. That's right. Diane.
Who brought the bird?
Diane did. Yeah, one of our designers.
All right.
It's basically a zoo here, in case anybody hasn't figured that out.
It's a menagerie. It's a menagerie.
All right, well, you can read more about dogs in the workplace. Maybe we'll even have some pictures of the dogs we met on our Counselor Road Tour in the September issue of Counselor Magazine. Michelle, here's a question that I want to talk about before we run out of time. Do people share too much on social media? Now, you're sitting there tweeting right now. What are you sharing?
I'm tweeting.
About dogs in the workplace.
Yeah. People absolutely share too much online. You ready? 4.8 million broadcasts when they're leaving the house. Why do people need to know that?
Dumb.
Also,
you mean from a safety issue?
Safety issue, yeah. You don't want to let people know you're not.
Oh, I'm leaving for a 10-day vacation.
4.7 million broadcast health conditions.
Oh, excellent.
I like when they say, oh, why me? Why again today?
4.6 million broadcasts about their love lives. And these idiots, can you imagine 2.6 million talk about their alcohol use? Duh. Who's doing that?
Well.
Okay. There's a lot that can be said about that. I will say, you know, I have about 500 Facebook friends, some who are just acquaintances in the neighborhood. And one guy actually posted, you know, a play-by-play on his divorce and even talked about, you know, some racy incidents, photos that he found on his wife's cell phone.
Well then.
And named the man who was in the photos.
Oh.
So I would not recommend any of
I'd
that.
I'd say that guy's got an axe to grind.
It's not good. Sydney, are you on Facebook or any social media?
Nope.
Nope.
Good for you, me either.
Stay off. That's what I say.
Do you want to be on?
Because I was going to say a lot of teenagers, I have to, you know, I check out my daughter's site. They share a lot on Facebook.
The majority of my friends have Facebook.
And what kinds of things do they share? Anything that you think is inappropriate, or everybody toes the line?
No, because all their parents
monitor. Very smart parents. That's good.
By the way, 90% of the people who were queried here said that there is too much oversharing and that they find it to be overwhelming, the amount of information that's being put out there.
Absolutely. Well, I think, you know, sharing things that are relevant or remotely interesting is good and not too personal. How about that?
I agree.
How about that, Andy?
I agree.
I'm with it.
All right. We have just enough time for the editors to talk about their favorite products of the week. Michelle, why don't you start us off?
Mine is perfect for summer. It is one of those little wristbands, and it's from Spirit Promo.
Is it silicone bracelet?
It's silicone, but it's dipped in bug repellent. So you put it on. That's why it's in this handy little pouch here. And it lasts for like a month.
My wife sported one of those over the weekend.
She's
magnet.
On trend.
She's like a magnet for mosquitoes. Well, here. So she threw one of those
on. The Shiksa can have this one.
Nice.
All right, Andy, what's your favorite product of the week?
Oh.
You're going to me?
Yes, sir.
All right, good. Mine comes from one of those actually dog-friendly places that we saw last week, iClick in Seattle. It's a credit card-sized it's actually a credit card, so it can be used as like a gift card or different types of promotion, but it has a USB in it.
Cool.
So you fold out the USB. It's very cool. Check it out online. It comes from iClick, which is ASI 62124. Check it out now online.
Awesome. Joe, what do you have?
What is it?
It's a mug that looks like a camera.
You gave it away.
Everyone, when I walked in, thought I was carrying a camera lens.
It's very
lens.
Cool.
It's very cool looking. It's made with a food safe or food grade plastic. It's got a stainless steel inside. It's got a cap here. It works with hot and cold liquids, and it's perfect for anyone in the photography industry or if you want to do a picture-perfect themed promotion. And this is available from Banner Pen. That's ASI 38297, and you can find them at www.bannerpen.ca.
All right. All these products will be online at asicentral.com/radio. Wow, I need help with that. All right, we are out of time today. Thanks to everyone for listening. Thanks to today's show sponsor, AIA. Thanks to our special intern this week, Sydney Cohn. And be sure to check us out next week. We're going to be calling in live from Tony Robbins at ASI Chicago. Check out asishow.com for more information on that. Have a great week, everyone.